The Guardian's Middle East editor, Ian Black, was watching Obama's speech in Jerusalem. Ian, what did you make of it?
I thought it was a very clever speech, the sort of thing that we've come to expect from Obama. Very fluent, clever, moving. First of all, he pressed all the buttons that matter to a mainstream Israeli, Jewish and Zionist audience. He went to great lengths to recognise the legitimacy of the Zionist dream, the idea of a free people in their homeland. He used all the iconic languages that are part of that world. He talked about kibbutzim, about making the desert bloom. He referenced the Holocaust, pogroms, and a history of Jewish suffering, all of which established sympathetic credentials for that Israeli, young Israeli mainstream audience. He's going over the heads of politicians. He didn't make this speech to the parliament, which has just been elected in elections, which saw Israel continue or stabilize its position as a more right-wing country politically. So he was talking directly to an audience of young people. He made a lot of points about politics and security, which will have the same effect. He attacked all of Israel's enemies, Hamas, the Islamists who run the Gaza Strip and who don't recognize Israel, Hezbollah, the Lebanese movement. Of course, he talked about Iran and made a link, very interestingly, between Iran's nuclear program and the Holocaust, something that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, often does controversially. But having done all that and made some important comments on familiar issues, Iran, diplomacy is best, but all options are on the table, using the odd phrase in Hebrew, he then moved to the message, which was the second message of his speech, which was about the need to achieve a just solution, a viable solution, as he put it, for the Palestinians. And he linked that to Israel's own achievements, to fairness. He made the point that security and defense, where America would always stand by Israel, was not enough. No wall was high enough. No Iron Dome anti-missile system sophisticated enough to defeat all enemies. Israel, he said, must recognize the right to Palestinian self-determination. It should look at the world, he said, through Palestinian eyes, acknowledge the unfairness, the injustice of the things that are inflicted on the Palestinians in the occupied territories. He talked about settler violence that went unpunished, all very, very hot-button issues. And Palestinians, he said, again, cleverly using a phrase that's very resonant for Israelis, Palestinians, he said, have a right to be a free people in their homeland. That's a phrase that's taken directly from the Israeli national anthem, a sublime expression, if you like, of the Zionist dream, but applied to Palestinians. He quoted Ariel Sharon, the former prime minister. He quoted David Grossman, a very respected liberal Israeli Jewish author. Now, not surprisingly, not everybody liked the speech. On Twitter, where this has been followed intensively, you've had Palestinian supporters saying that this is mere eloquence, there's no substance or depth. One Arab tweeter said sarcastically, "Are violins playing in the background while Obama speaks?" And it's true and important to say that there was nothing in this speech that gives us any practical pointers as to how the long-stalled peace process can be revived. He had some specific points that were directed at the Palestinians. He said that the Palestinians must negotiate, not do things unilaterally. There's a fear that the Palestinians, having despaired of a peace process that has gone nowhere for so long, will now go to the UN. He also said the Palestinians had to recognize that Israel was a Jewish state, something that many people find unpalatable, particularly because there is a large minority inside Israel of Palestinians who, of course, are not Jewish too. But it gave positive messages to Israelis. It made important points about the need to resolve the conflict with the Palestinians. It provided no obvious way forward, but will, I'm sure, have created a positive mood in Israel towards the messages he was trying to put across. I don't believe that those who don't trust America or Obama on policy towards Israel will have changed their minds on this. The question is, will it have the desired effect on an audience of young Israelis when he's set out quite a compelling vision of a country which needs to come to terms with an existential problem for itself and a matter of fundamental justice for the people who are suffering from it at the moment.
He described the continuing settlements as counterproductive to the cause of peace. Is that the most sort of uncomfortable message for the Israeli government?
Counterproductive isn't a very strong word, of course, and it's on the settlement issue that Obama has famously failed in his confrontation with Netanyahu over the years. Obama demanded a settlement freeze. He went eyeball to eyeball with the Israeli Prime Minister, and Obama blinked first. So we didn't see him repeat that demand that settlements be frozen, a fundamental Palestinian demand, by the way, before peace talks can resume. But he made no bones about the fact that it was urgent to restart those talks. But I don't think there were any messages in that that would have seriously discomforted the present Israeli government.
Okay, yeah, I better let you get in, write it up. Thanks a lot.